A delegation of African Union members was met with protests in Libya today as the group tried to persuade rebel forces to accept a proposed ceasefire. The rebels say they doubt that Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi will abide by any ceasefire, and they will not accept any plan that keeps Gaddafi in power. Gaddafi has not adhered to the ceasefire that he immediately declared after international airstrikes were authorized last month, and his forces continue to battle rebel fighters. About a quarter of a million people have fled the violence in Libya, a country that until recently was a haven for thousands of refugees fleeing violence in their home countries, places like Darfur and Iraq. Our guest, Sasha Chanoff, is the founder and executive director of the humanitarian agency Mapendo International. And Sasha, using your definition of the word refugee, someone who cannot return to his or her original home because of persecution, you say there are about 10,000 refugees in Libya. What's happening to them?
These people are now being mistaken for Gaddafi's mercenaries. Gaddafi has brought in mercenaries from Sudan and other sub-Saharan African countries, and refugees in Libya are being mistaken for those mercenaries and attacked and killed there. We're hearing reports from the UN and other humanitarian organizations on the ground there. One Somali man reported a few weeks ago that his wife and child were killed in Tripoli, and he managed to escape the violence, but he said they were killing other refugees who were there.
Where are they going? All over?
They're trying to get out of the country. They're fleeing to Egypt, and they're fleeing to Tunisia as well. But the problem is that they can't return home. So hopefully they'll find safe haven in Egypt, although Egypt itself is home to about 40,000 refugees, and there's really scant humanitarian resources for these people.
You mentioned that they've been accused of being mercenaries. How do you know they're not?
Yeah, well, these people have been registered by the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR. So they're people who fled there, who were registered, who went through an interview process, and who are not part of this violence in any way. They haven't been brought in as mercenaries. They're people who are trying to eke out an existence who are now being targeted.
Now, the United Nations made an emergency appeal to governments to increase resettlement slots for refugees. And 24 countries, including the United States, have active programs. What do you think that appeal from the UN will achieve? What do you hope it will accomplish?
The appeal from the UN Refugee Agency is vital and critical. What it will accomplish is it will enable people to be protected if they can resettle to a country that will take them in and rebuild their lives. It will also help to encourage Egypt and Tunisia to keep their borders open so that people can continue fleeing, and it will create a better environment to protect refugees who are already in Egypt and Tunisia. Like I said, there are scant resources for people who are in Egypt already. So if the UN is able to work with governments to resettle refugees who are fleeing Libya and also take some people who are in Egypt who are in dangerous situations, that will create a better environment to serve those people who have to stay there. In terms of resettlement, this is an important response that the international community can take on to protect refugees. The U.S. government is a world leader in refugee resettlement. Our Congress and President every year allocate a certain amount of slots that are available for refugees who are fleeing their homes and have no safety anywhere else. This year, that number is 80,000 people. And globally, about 120,000 slots are available for refugees to resettle to a third country. One of the reasons Mapendo International was founded is because in the past decade, about 200,000 resettlement slots to the U.S. alone have gone unfilled. And so we created our organization to protect refugees in urban areas and to identify people in life-threatening situations and work with the UN Refugee Agency and governments to get them to safety and to fill those slots.
Yeah, you've written about refugees in urban areas, which is interesting because I think when we think about this refugee crisis, we've heard a lot about camps and Italy and the debate going on in Italy and things like that. But you say that there are an awful lot of refugees that you call urban refugees. What is that?
Well, so the traditional response to a crisis is for refugee camps to be set up. Take Darfur, for example. About 250,000 refugees fled into neighboring Chad, and 12 refugee camps were set up to help keep them safe and alive. But more and more, we're seeing a trend of refugees leaving refugee camps or foregoing them completely and ending up in urban areas, in slums around cities. And this is a global trend. Right now in the world, about half of the 10.5 million refugees globally are in cities or other areas. What we're seeing with refugees these days is that whereas in the past it was mostly men who ended up in urban centers, the demographics have changed dramatically. Now, in these urban slum areas, we see women and children and elderly. Our organization did some research last summer on refugee girls and women in Nairobi. These are people from, again, Darfur, Congo, Somalia. And we found that the dangers that refugees face in these urban areas are threats of arrest and detention, of extreme exploitation, inadequate and overcrowded shelter, sexual and gender-based violence and rape. So these are issues that need to be addressed.
Do you think that the United States should play a larger role, or is it already and it's just sort of under the radar?
The United States has always been a world leader in refugee resettlement and humanitarian affairs. And I think we lead both from an operational perspective and also a moral perspective. And I think I feel, along with members of Congress and people around the U.S., that it's imperative for us to keep our doors open to people who are fleeing violence and have nowhere else to turn for safety. And what we see with refugees who arrive here is they become integrated. They can apply for citizenship within 5 years. I've seen, for example, Bosnians who have reinvigorated areas of St. Louis with their entrepreneurship. So these are people who add to the cultural fabric of our country.
But there are many people who say with our economy the way it is right now, maybe it isn't the time for us to expand.
I think that argument has been made across time and space every time we have difficulties with our economy. But what we find again is that these people are often people who contribute to our country. They don't take away. They're entrepreneurs, they're workers, they contribute their strength and their culture to the fabric of our society.
Sasha Chanoff is executive director of the humanitarian agency Mapendo International. He works with refugees in Africa. Thanks very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.